Fletcher Cole punched another button on the phone on the president's desk and scanned a 2-page report from Attorney General Richard Horton while he held. He ignored the president, who was gripping his putter with gloved hands and staring fiercely at a yellow ball as it rolled precisely into a brass cup 10 feet away. 8 in a row, 27 out of 30. Cole growled something and slammed the receiver down. "That was Chief Runyon," he said. "He's quite upset. He wanted to meet with you this evening."
"Tell him to take a number."
"I told him to be here at 10 in the morning. Without looking up, the president gripped the putter and studied the next ball.
"What about the polls?"
"We've run 2, and the computer is digesting them now. We think the approval rating will be somewhere around 52 or 53, and that's the highest we've been since the Flight 402 crisis last November. This new crisis is a real godsend, Chief. People are shocked, yet many of them are happy Rosenberg is gone, and you're the man in the middle. Just wonderful." Cole punched a blinking button and picked up the receiver. Seconds later, he slammed it down without a word. He straightened his tie and buttoned his jacket. "It's 5:30, Chief. Foyles and Gaminsky are waiting." Slowly, the president picked off his gloves, laid his putter in a corner, and slid into his bally loafers.
"Show them in,"
he said at last. He had changed clothes 6 times since his 7 a.m. television address, and now wore a Glen Plaid double-breasted suit with a red and navy polka-dot tie. He sat at his desk and scowled at some papers, not rising and not offering to shake hands, as FBI Director F. Denton Voiles and CIA Director Robert Gaminsky walked in for the 2nd time that day.
"Let's start with you, Bob,"
he said.
"Who killed them?"
"I do not know, Mr. President, but on my mother's grave, I swear the CIA had nothing to do with it."
The president turned and glared at the stocky figure of F. Denton Voiles, who chewed his gum slowly and sneered.
"Ballistics? Autopsies?" the president asked.
Voiles opened his briefcase. "The gun was small caliber, probably a .22, point-blank range, for Rosenberg and his nurse, powder burns indicate. Complete autopsy summaries are being prepared, but causes of death are quite obvious." "Fingerprints?" Cole prodded. Voiles watched the president and ignored his hatchet man.
"None. We're still looking, but it was a very clean job. Appears as if he left nothing but the slugs and the bodies. Very professional."
"And what about Jensen?" the president asked.
"Again, no fingerprints, and this is not the sort of situation in which witnesses come rushing forward, so I don't expect to find any. Time of death was around 12:30 this morning. The killings were 2 hours apart."
"Then who are your suspects?" the president demanded.
Voiles breathed deeply and seemed to settle in his chair. He closed the briefcase and laid it at his feet.
We don't have a prime suspect at the moment, just a few good possibilities. And this must be kept very quiet."
Cole sprung a step closer.
"Of course it's confidential," he snapped. "You're in the Oval Office."
"And I have been here many times before. In fact, I was here when you were running around in dirty diapers, Mr. Cole. Things have a way of leaking out."
"I think you've had leaks yourself," Cole said.
The president raised his hand.
"It's confidential, Denton. You have my word."
Cole retreated a step.
Voiles watched the president. "Court opened Monday, as you know, and the maniacs have been in town for a few days. For the past 2 weeks, we've been monitoring various movements. We know of at least 11 members of the underground army who've been in the D.C. area for a week. We questioned a couple today and released them. We know the group has the capability and the desire. It's our strongest possibility for now. Could change tomorrow."
Cole was not impressed.
"Other suspects?" he asked.
"There's an Aryan group called White Resistance. It operates out of Idaho and Oregon. The leader was spotted Monday in the demonstration outside the Supreme Court."
"But are these people professional assassins?" Cole asked.
"They don't advertise, you understand. I doubt if any group performed the actual killings. They just hired the assassins and provided the legwork."
"So who are the assassins?" the president asked.
"We may never know, frankly."
The president stood and stretched his legs. Another hard day at the office.
"I don't envy you the task you have,"
he said to Voiles in his best grandfatherly manner.
"If possible, I would like a 2-page report every day on the progress of the investigation. If something breaks, I expect you to call me immediately. Now, thanks for coming, gentlemen."
As Cole closed the door behind them, the president grabbed the putter again.
"I want to talk to Horton," he said. "The nominations must be perfect. Young, conservative, white men. Opposed to abortion,